We're going to begin the hour by talking sports with Dr. Deb Stroman, UNC professor, sports commentator, basketball star extraordinaire, and today legal commentator, because we're going to be talking about a Supreme Court decision. Dr. Stroman, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
So we are talking about the first kind of significant Supreme Court decision that got handed down. I guess they're all significant. The first one that really made the headlines in the Supreme Court's term, which is Murphy versus the NCAA. This is kind of a dry ruling striking down a 1992 law that banned betting on sports in most states. So that's the athletics connection, essentially freeing up all of the states that weren't exempted by that law to legalize sports gambling. So now people are talking about not the legality behind the ruling. It was the 6-3 ruling, but what the effect of that is going to be on gambling, on sports betting in general, and on sports even more generally. What is the effect going to be on the way that people experience and interact with college and professional athletics? So let's talk about this for a little while, because this is something that we've talked about before, the role of big money and its relationship with professional and college sports, and this is just another twist on that.
Absolutely. It is clearly another example of how sport touches all aspects of our lives, and in particular, we're talking about politics, the legal system, and economics. This decision by the Supreme Court is basically a federal policy against sports wagering, but it's being applied through state law. Mm-hmm. And so it really brings up that issue of states' rights issues, similar to immigration and marijuana. And so there's basically nothing to keep states from sanctioning sports betting, regulating and taxing it, just as they would any other form of gaming. And so every state gets to decide where, when, and how it's going to take action. And as you can imagine, there are those out there who believe in capitalism, who believe in the free market system, who believe in the ability for anyone to get up each and every day and make money, make a profit, and do whatever they deem to be fit without hurting or injuring others. And so there are some legislators that were very, very aggressive around this. Pennsylvania, Connecticut, New York, they've already passed some bills. I know West Virginia, Mississippi is ready to jump in, and then South Carolina, Michigan, Kentucky, Oklahoma, they've introduced sports wagering bills. So this is really the gamut of, in fact, a great example of the diversity of America and how we feel about business.
And New Jersey, the state you did mention in there, I think they passed the law legalizing sports gambling before the Supreme Court even handed down their decision, and that's why the Supreme Court got the case in the first place, right? So New Jersey was first in line.
You're exactly right. There is no doubt there has been a lot of state jealousy with Nevada having the rights to, you know, what many people feel is a very, very nice revenue stream. Because as we know, this is not some small little business venture. We're talking about a sport gambling industry. Some experts say it's over $150 billion and perhaps even more, because so much of it is unregulated. Mm-hmm. I think there was research done by UNLV Center for Gaming Research, and they said that in Nevada, the legal sports betting, which is primarily led by professional and college, it accounted for $1.76 billion.
Wow. So, and sort of thinking about and talking about what the effects of this are going to be, I can't help thinking about every time, and I did this myself, a few years ago when I had a chance to go out to Vegas. I made it a point to go to the sports book and bet on my team to win the World Series. That money flew out the window, but I did it. And when other people that I knew went to Vegas, you know, you'd give them money and say, oh, put $5 on the Tigers or put $10 on the Tar Heels to win the national championship or the World Series. So I guess those days are over, because now it's not a special trip to Vegas to do it. You can just drive down the road or go one or two states over and It's a little bit more accessible, but that just kind of underscores the extent to which people are already doing this, right? $150+ billion, a lot of which is across the country in states where technically this is illegal. People are already gambling on sports. You've got people who already like think of sports in that ways, office pools and things like that. So we're already sort of regularly and just sort of take it for granted that this is just a regular part of the process. We're betting on sports already anyway. So what do you think the effect, if anything, of this is going to be in terms of just sort of on the ground activity?
Well, I'm glad you brought up your trip to Vegas, because there are some people who feel that Vegas is going to fall apart now. But as you mentioned, most people don't jump on a plane to go bet in Vegas.
Yeah.
It's the other attractions. It's the package. It's the casinos. It's the shows. It's the low-cost food options when you're in the casino. It's the lights and just the atmosphere. And then you casually say, oh, why not go do a little bet on my favorite team or some other team? So Vegas is going to be fine. In fact, they will continue to package and really take advantage of this. But in terms of on the ground, I think people, there's one, I guess you could say, one aspect of our society who will not even pull out $5 to bet on anything. They just feel that it's something that it might be a religious aspect. It could be a family value, or they just might say it's stupid. It's just not worth it. And then there are others who will dabble just a little bit, and perhaps knowing that something down the street, it doesn't take you, you know, a big trip to go do a bet, they'll jump in. But I just believe that people who gamble, and I do believe it is a disease, in the sense of those who become addicted and, you know, risk their all of their assets and dollars and everything else, that those folks, this isn't going to motivate them to do anything differently. I think they will continue to bet like they do with the addiction, and risk a lot. I think the thing to watch is the leagues. In 2012, the five biggest sports leagues in the United States, they actually sued to prevent New Jersey from entering the sports gaming business. But lo and behold, the liberal progressive NBA and MLB, they Major League Baseball, they both said that they think that this whole aspect of legal sports gambling is inevitable. So they're working to, number one, hopefully get a federal law passed to address this, so it's not all this these different options in each state. But also they feel that they need to get involved, to your point, so that they would have more integrity in their sports. But it's going to cost them some money. But I think that they see through partnerships and business opportunities that this could be a win for them.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, we're talking about the Supreme Court decision that just got handed down, Murphy versus the NCAA, which overturned a law that was passed in 1992. So, I honestly have no idea the answer to this question. I'm wondering if you know what the state of things was prior to 1992, because I guess this just kind of resets the clock back 26 years, right?
You're absolutely right. There was no doubt that, you know, states were interested in participating in sports gaming, but due to the lobbying and I'll just say some underground figures, some scary figures who would put the stake down in the Nevada area, they won out. And Nevada was anointed as the place. And since then, there are certain little areas where things can happen, and certainly we know around negotiations with Native Americans and reservations and having casinos. And we have, I think we have one in Cherokee as well here in North Carolina. But in general, everyone knows it was Nevada, and that was special to them. But really, New Jersey just kept barking and just kept barking. And here we are where we have a judicial court, that, you know, Supreme Court, that decided that this is just not going to work. It's time to break all this up. And allow other states to get involved. Another important aspect, of course, is the NCAA and college sports, and they're just adamant that they just oppose the sports wagering. And we know that gambling takes place in college sports, and we've had a number of examples of athletes and coaches and referees who've been swayed in college and professional sports with these dollar figures. So it's just more compliance. The only people that always, well, I won't say always, the only people that win in this case are definitely the lawyers.
Speaking again with Dr. Deb Stroman. So when all is said and done, do you think this is a positive thing for sports, negative thing, basically par for the course? Do you think Congress should be passing a law regulating sports betting nationwide, or do you think it should just be a free-for-all for states?
Well, I would like to see uniformity just for the fan, for the casual gambler, so people are consistent and not breaking some rules because they didn't know or they didn't take the time to read up on what was going on in Illinois versus, you know, North Carolina. But if one believes in free markets and the ability to, you know, have a business and to do it in a legal way, then this works. I don't think it really is anything different for sports, so to speak, because all of these sport enterprises are going to make money off this. They're going to find some way to monetize this so it wins. There is one proposal with the Major League Baseball and the NBA that they get a 1% kickback for assuming the added risk. So they like to say this is an integrity fee or royalty to the league. And you already have some gambling advocates pushing back on that. So if this goes forward and most states jump on it, I really see that the sport enterprises and even college sports is going to end up making money off of it.
Dr. Deb Stroman, thank you so much. And the next time I see you, I'm going to have to get your Vegas tips, because the last time I was out there, I did not see any low-cost food options in casinos, and we were looking all over for them. So you'll have to give me your tips.
Well, I think the key is if you sit down at a slot machine, they'll come around to you eventually and give you coupons and things like that.
All right.
You got to sit down. You got to invest.
All right. Dr. Deb Stroman, thank you so much.
Thank you.